Putting in lies to lead you down to hell and lead you astray. And men are saying and women are saying, oh, we need to listen to these AI bots. They're our gods. We should worship them. Their intelligence is now so great because they have all the intelligence of all people. And now that's what we worship. Why do we worship them? Because they can talk back to us. I want to submit to you something. Jesus Christ talks back. You say, how does he speak? He has spoken in this Bible right here. John wrote the last book, and the Lord appeared to him and gave him the revelation, and John wrote it down. We have it now. And the Bible says when you come to a church like this, there's an angel, which is a man with a message.
Right.
And whose message is it? Not my message, not your message, not his message, not anybody, man's. It's the message of the word of Jesus Christ. That's what you're getting this morning. A message just for you, and it's from the Lord. And don't say he hasn't spoken and he doesn't speak to your heart through his spoken word. He does. And the message this morning that I want to lift out is what Jesus opens for you, no man shut. And our verse is, he that openeth, no man shutteth. Listen to me this morning. When Jesus opens something for you, nobody can shut it. When Jesus shuts it, yes, nobody can open it. And if you don't get saved and you think you're going to get saved later when the Antichrist comes and all of that, it'll be too late for you.
Right.
He'll shut you out. And no man can open it. Evangelist Lou was talking about that in his first message at the come. But that's not what I'm preaching on today. I'm preaching on when Jesus opens something for you, no man can shut it. This is an opportunity, and I want you to look at, first of all, he opens doors of opportunity for you. Brother Isaac is here today. We go out soul winning together, and I have a good time with Brother Isaac. He's from Arizona. He plays for the Scranton Knights hockey team, and he's a born-again Christian, and he witnesses for Jesus, and he's in a church like ours. He preaches the gospel. He said, Pastor, we're knocking on doors. Every door in our area in Arizona, we're knocking on those doors, and we're getting doors open to us to tell people how to get saved. And I said, yeah, we've done that twice. But you know what? When I told him that, I thought it's been a long time since we did it. We need to do it again. And I started Operation Door Knocking. And everybody's involved in that. The other night, I went to our college on Tuesday night and was opening in a song and prayer for the college. We have that on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. I want to go knock on doors. I was talking to youth pastor's wife, assistant, my administrator. I said, well, I want to knock on some doors. And she said, yeah, Miss Diane has it. She sent people out. I said, well, was there anybody that didn't knock on the doors? They didn't knock on the doors that Miss Diane gave. She gave me a team that didn't. And I said, well, I'm going to knock on those doors tonight. And I went down to Dean Street, and I started knocking on doors and handing out tracts. And do you know what? People opened their door to me. Said, Merry Christmas. I gave him a tract from our church, and I said, you're invited. And I told him about different things that God had given us. Opportunities, open doors. And people were receptive, and they took the tract. Finally, I came to a door, and there were two men there. They were tired. They were finishing up from remodeling a house. And they said, yeah, we're going home. And one's, their names were Morales. And they lived in Southside, and they said to me, we're going home. And I said, but can I ask you two questions? They said, yeah. I said, if you died today, are you 100% sure with a Bible reason that you're going to heaven? They weren't. And I said, why would you get into heaven? They didn't know the right answer. I said, that's the most important question. And I took the Bible and gave them the good news. Do you know they both put their faith in Jesus Christ? What a wonderful thing that is. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. You know what the greatest Christmas gift on Christmas Sunday is? It's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We got some good gifts, and I thank God for them. And we put a lot of work in. Santa's helpers put a lot of work in wrapping these. But you say, you don't look that fat to be Santa Claus. I'm not. You're raising your... but But anyway, the greatest gift is the one Jesus gave us. To live forever with Him in this glorious kingdom. The thief on the cross got that gift. Remember me when thou... And Jesus saved him. Listen, I don't care what you've done. He's offering you a door of opportunity that you could be saved. What a wonderful thing that is, and what a blessed thing that is. And you know what? I came here Thursday night to go out soul winning, and we went to a house, and I saw that Miss Alicia had put me to go to a house, and I thought, why am I going here? We go there on bus ministry, and I told Isaac, you know, we go here on bus ministry. But then I said, you know what? Miss Alicia put us on this house. She's doing this work, and she does it for the Lord. I believe we need to just trust the plan. God has a plan. So we're going to go to this house. And we went there, knocked on the door, and sure enough, it's a couple that we know very well. They have kids here. They're here today. I know the husband is sick today. But we went there, and as I was there, I was asking God, why am I here? The door was open, but what do I do? And then I asked them the two spiritual questions that I just asked. The wife had the right answer. The husband did not. He didn't know for sure he was going to heaven. I believe there's somebody here, you're like that. If you were honest, you're not sure you're going to heaven. You don't have a Bible reason to know for sure why you could get into heaven. And if you don't, then you're not saved. And so this guy wasn't saved, and I gave him the good news of how he could be saved. And I told him about sin, and that you've sinned, and because you've sinned, you have to die. Everybody has to die to pay for their sin. And after you die, you go straight to hell. You don't pass go. You don't collect $200 like in Monopoly. You go straight to hell. But I said, somebody went through hell on a cross. He died for the sins of the world. He was buried. He rose again so that anybody in the world has the opportunity, open door, to receive the good news. And he said, I don't want to die and go to hell. For the first time, I think he realized, I am going to die and go to hell. And he said, I want to be saved. And he prayed to receive Christ as his Savior. I'm saying there are open doors, doors of opportunity that God is giving us. And when the Lord opens a door, no man can shut it. You see, no man can shut it. They put Paul in jail, but they couldn't stop him from telling people about Jesus Christ. He witnessed in jail. We had Kent Hovind here. How many were here for Kent Hovind? They put him in jail for almost 9 years. Obama's guy, Eric Holder. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for Obama's presidency. But he put a godly man in jail and hurt his family and hurt people. And he was there for 9 years, but you know what? They couldn't tie up the Bible. They couldn't tie up the Word of God. They had to keep moving from jail to jail. He led 700 people to faith in Jesus Christ while he was in jail. There's an open door for you if you will take it. And you say, Pastor, who opens that door? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But watch out, listen to me. When you have opportunities, watch out whose hand is on the door. Is it the nail-pierced hand of Jesus Christ, or is it the cloven hoof of the devil? Because the devil will open doors for you to get into drugs. Did you hear me? The devil will open doors for you to drink alcohol and get into that. The devil will open doors for you to go with somebody and get into fornication outside of holy matrimony. That's not the open doors of Jesus Christ. The devil will open doors for you to get into false religions like the Jehovah's false witnesses and the Mormon's false Jesus and Allah, who is no God. I like what I heard the other day. The Turkish lawmaker stood up in the parliament in Turkey and he said, I curse Israel, and Allah God is going to curse Israel. And as he said it, God Almighty, Jehovah God, dropped him on the floor with a heart attack. They took him to the hospital. And I told Brother Eric about it. He said, well, God showed mercy. He didn't kill him. I said, yeah, he's dead now. He's gone. I'm talking about Jehovah God. He's the real God. Not the God of Yuval Noah Harari, who thinks it's He said, it's no longer the God above the clouds. Our God is in the cloud. You're about to be hit with a glory cloud, son. Who's on the Lord's side? Look for the open door that Jesus gives us. And Jesus himself said that he is the door, and he wants you to go through that door. Here's what Jesus said. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. John 10:9. You know what? A number of years ago, I got saved by going through the open door of Jesus. And you know what? How many of you are in this building today? Raise your hand. That's a trick question. How many of you got in this building by breaking through the stone walls around that are part of the building? No, you didn't get here that way. Everybody that got here came through the door. And that's what Jesus did. See, the stone walls around this building keep you out. And you know what the stone wall is around heaven that keeps you out? It's actually your own sin. Because if you have one sin that you've done against God, you can't get into God's holy presence. He's too holy for that. He won't allow it. You said, well, not the God that I know. He'll just let anybody in. I mean, he's like a grandfather with no teeth that can't do it. No, that's not God. If you have one sin, you can't get in. I tell people, if somebody bought you a brand new pizza and they brought it to you and a dog pooed in it, would you eat it? No, that's what one sin is like to God. And you can't serve your life up to God and say, here, take me in. He said, no, I'm too holy. I can't. There's certain things God can't do. He can't do it. You wouldn't want to eat a pool pizza, and he can't do that either. And so you see, your sin has to be removed, just like the stones had to be removed to create an opening to get in here, to put a door in there. Jesus took away the sins of your life. And if you put your faith in him, it's like going through a door. You go through the door of Christ. He's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. So I'm just talking to you this morning, and I'm saying that Jesus opens a door of opportunity for you to be saved. And secondly, he opens your mouth for you. I remember a great preacher, Wendell Kempton, preached in our, he didn't preach in our church, he came to our church, and he was a great preacher, and somebody came to him and he said, Dr. Kempton, you're a great preacher. It's so privileged to have you in our church. And he said, well, he said, I just opened my mouth and the Lord fills it. He said he would fill it. And God does that. And the Bible says this, and as for me, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, we have a couple of ladies that are both here, Marion and Rose. And they come out on Thursday night. And they come out so that they can open their mouth and tell people the good news. Do you know that's God's plan? He wants to use ladies and men and teenagers and boys and girls that have gone through the open door and invite others to Jesus. What does the Bible say in Revelation? The Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that's you and I, say, come. Come to Jesus. You know what? This is a come to Jesus moment. It's also a snapping out presence moment. If I'm not careful, I'll fix it. I know you ladies are upset. All right. But it is a come to Jesus moment. And those two ladies, you know, they were talking to Brother Joe, and I heard them, and I came and joined the discussion. They were saying to Brother Joe, you know, we are given the good news, but sometimes we forget things, and we don't want to mess it up. We want to tell people the good news. And Brother Joe and I were saying to them, you know what? We have a track and it's all written on the track. Why don't you just read the track to them? And that night I heard Marion was out with Miss Diane and some others, right? Was that the one with the dog? And there was a big dog barking. Did he stop barking finally? He didn't stop barking for me ever, but he stopped barking. And Marion said, there's something you need to hear right here. And she just read that tract. And that man professed to put his faith in Jesus Christ that night. I'm saying God not only opens doors of opportunity for you to get saved and to serve God, but God opens doors, listen to me, He opens your mouth for you so that you can speak the Word of God and listen to it. Ah, there goes your tree. God has chosen to save people by someone who's been saved, who can just give them the good news. It's the power of God. And God wants people like Marion and Rose, and if you're saved, He wants you to share the gospel with other people. Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher. He was called the Prince of Preacher. He had thousands of people come in London, England in the 19th century, hear him preach. And his grandfather was a preacher, but not nearly as good a preacher. And he said to Charles Spurgeon, he said, Charles, he said, you may be able to preach the gospel better than me, but you can't preach a better gospel. God says, you can be saved through hearing the gospel. You know how I got saved? Not through a preacher. I was ready to get saved, and my grandmother gave me the gospel, and I got saved. Amen. You know why? Because I was ready to hear and receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, and she just had the message. And I believe there are some of you that are here today. You're ready to get saved. You just need to hear the invitation that the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Do you want rest? Just leave your salvation with Jesus. Put it in His hands. He's the open door. Go through the open door while you can, before the door is shut, beloved. Go through the open door. How many of you remember the door that was shut in our church just a little bit ago during the missionary conference? And we could no longer go in and out of that door because it was shut. There's coming a day when the door is going to be shut. But right now the door is open and you're here. And it's your open door. And God has opened our mouth this morning to tell you how to be saved. You say, Pastor, do you expect people to get saved when you preach? Yes, God has chosen to save people by the foolishness of preaching. Right. And you know what? I also believe, you know, Charles Spurgeon had a young preacher come up to him and he said, Mr. Spurgeon, I'm having nobody get saved in any of my services or in our church. And Spurgeon said, well, you don't expect somebody to get saved every time you preach, do you? He said, no. He said, well, that's your problem. See, I believe that people are here for a reason.
Right.
I believe some of you have been saved, and God wants you to come forward and let others know about it, like the woman who got her hemorrhage healed by the Lord. She'd been bleeding for 12 years, and the Lord healed her, and the Lord said, come on and testify that. Now, you don't have to say anything, just come. And by coming, you're saying, I got saved. But some of you, you need to come to Christ and be saved this morning. While you can, and God is giving you that opportunity. He opens doors of opportunities. He opens your mouth that you can give the gospel. And number three, He opens hearts for you. Now, you say, what are you talking about? Have you ever talked to somebody, you that are born again, and you witnessed to them, and they just wanted to get away from you? I remember talking to a girl that used to be in our Christian school. She was on our bus years ago. And this young lady was just a little girl, and she grew up, you know. And I spoke to the guy in her life right now, and I said to him, you know, your girl right here, when she was a little girl, she did fine. But when she became a teenager, she discovered boys, and she disappeared. And one day, I ran into her, and there was a guy with her, a teenage boy, and I told the teenage boy that everybody's sinned and we have to die and go to hell to pay for our sin, but Jesus died so that we could have an open door and go through Him to heaven and be saved. And the boy was listening. And then she left when I was given the message. And just when he was ready to hear and to believe in Christ as his Savior and receive the gospel, he got a phone call on his cell phone. I hope you have your cell phone off. You know what that was, right? The devil. But you know who the devil used? That girl. She left and called him so that he would stop talking to us and have an excuse to get away from us. Some people just want an excuse to get away from what the preacher's telling them so they can get their presence or they can get away, but you're missing the greatest present of all. It's the one I unwrapped, Jesus Christ and eternal life. And unless you get that, I don't care if you get a million presents, you have to leave them all behind. You can't take a U-Haul to the grave. You're going to leave it behind, you're going to die and go to hell, and you're going to wish you had. And so I'm saying that the Lord opens people's hearts. And the Bible says that when the Apostle Paul was given the gospel to a lady, her name was Lydia, it said Lydia heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Do you ever have people that didn't want to hear you, brother?
Right.
You ever have people that wanted to hear you and listen? That's the Lord. He opens their hearts so that they will actually listen to people. I remember Brother Kyle. I guess he's sick this morning. Brother Kyle, pray for him. But I remember Brother Kyle would come to our church. How many of you know Brother Kyle Donovan? He came to our church and he was here for about a year and I thought he was saved. He came all the time. Maybe I might think you're saved, but your heart is really closed to the Lord. There's no room for the Lord in your heart. And that's the way Kyle was. And when I preached, you know who he thought I was? The devil. Because what I was preaching just seemed to be so against what he felt in his heart. And he thought, that guy's the devil. And he sat there and he listened and he went through it for quite a while. And, you know, we thought he was saved. And one night, you know, he wanted to go out with me because I said, I'm going to tell people about Jesus. And he wanted to go out. But what I didn't know is that, how many of you know Brother Joe Slobodny? Brother Joe. He talked to him and he asked him a spiritual question. He said, Kyle, if you were to die tonight, are you 100% sure with a Bible reason you're going to heaven? And Kyle didn't, he didn't know. And maybe you're like that today. And then he said, and if you died and stood before God, and God himself said to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you tell him? And Kyle didn't know. And now he was convicted. I don't believe I'm going to heaven. I don't believe I'm saved. And when the pastor's going out to tell people how to get saved, Kyle said, can I go with you? He went with me. And I just thought he wants to help me tell people about Jesus, the good news. And I was down at the courthouse square, downtown Scranton, and I was telling the guy how to be saved. And the guy was ready to get saved. I said, okay, would you like to pray with me to the Lord to save you and wash your sins away? The guy said, yes, I would. And I said, okay, bow your head and say, dear Lord Jesus. And the man said the sinner's prayer, and right then, I didn't even know what was happening, Kyle was praying the sinner's prayer, and he received Christ as Savior. That's when he got saved. You say, why did Kyle get saved? Because the Holy Spirit opened his heart. The Lord Jesus opened his heart. He prepared him through Brother Joe and through what he'd gone through that year and prepared him. I believe you're prepared today, some of you, to get saved and to pray to receive Jesus. Would you do it before it's too late?
Amen.
Brother Eddie Brent is in the back there. Brother Eddie Brent is a great guy. But you know, Brother Eddie Brent at one time was drinking and living for the world. He was living up here in North Scranton. Brother Joe went to him and asked him those two spiritual questions and talked to him. Brother Ralph Tolley went and talked to him. And Brother Eddie was not saved yet. And one night I said, I'm going up there where Brother Eddie lives. And I found Brother Eddie. He was drinking a little bit. And I asked him those two questions. And he wasn't saved. And I told him the good news of how he could have his sins paid for. How God could come into his heart and live in his life forever. And he could be forever with the Lord. And Brother Eddie that night put his faith in Jesus, Bobby. And he got saved. Then he got baptized after he got saved. Amen. Joined the church. And Brother Eddie's here today. He's here to help and to serve God. Thank God for that. This is your opportunity, and God is working in your heart. In fact, the Bible says no man can come to Jesus except the Father in heaven that sent Jesus to save the world, except the Father draw him, and he works on your heart by the Holy Ghost and puts you in this place, this door of opportunity. He opens the mouth of God's man to preach to you the message, and the Bible says when a preacher's preaching to you, it's Jesus preaching through the preacher. And he's inviting you to come. You say, well, why would he use somebody like you? You're a preacher, but you're a sinner. You're not perfect. Because you're a sinner, and he wants to make you feel comfortable to hear the message. He could send an angel, but you might freak out. So he sends a human angel to invite you. And I'm here to do it, man. That's what I want to do. Because I've gone through that door. And it's good on the inside. Come on in. The water's fine. Yeah. I see people in the world all the time. You know, they advertise these liquor commercials. And, man, they look so good. They got this good-looking woman on. And they're having a good time drinking. And, you know, they're trying to make you think it's a happy life. No, I've seen it. I've gone down to New York City. I've gone there. A guy that made mega bucks, had a home and a wife and a family. And now he's homeless in New York City. And I'm telling him about Jesus. Tooth is out and everything, you know, teeth falling out of his head. Why? Because the devil is no good. He'll take you to hell. Years ago, I went down Broadway. How many have ever been to Broadway? Went down Broadway in New York City, beautiful lights, and I was walking. I don't know, this might have been back in the 1970s. I was walking down Broadway, you know, this is cool. They have all the ads there and the lights there, the glitz and the glamour there. And I just kept walking. I said, I'm just going to keep walking. This is really nice. And you know, whoops, there it goes again. And you know where I wound up? I wound up in a ghetto. It was dark. It was scary. I said, I'm going to get out of here. That's where the devil's going to lead you. It all looks good, kids. He makes it look fun. But you know what the devil is? He's a dirty, rotten rat. He's a liar. My wife hates rats. She's scared of them.
Don't feel bad. I hate rats, too.
You do?
Yeah. Mice?
Yeah.
If it's Mickey Mouse, okay.
Amen and amen to that. My wife loved Mickey Mouse too. You and her, you got to get together here. Talk about it. But listen to me. The devil is a liar. And today you have an opportunity, an open door, and the heart can be opened by Jesus. And would you receive him? He's knocking at the door of your heart. Open it up and receive. And if you have received him, then you get involved in going through these open doors that we're doing. And many of you are. And just keep doing it. It's going to be great. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. And I want to simply say this. As every head is bowed and every eye closed. If when I was preaching and I was talking about, are you 100% sure with a Bible reason that you can know you're going to heaven, and you know that, if you know that for sure, would you raise your hand? You say, Pastor, yes, I know that. Amen. Shake your hand. Let me see it. Everybody. Amen. Thank you. You may put it down. I appreciate that. And I do see that hand. And it's good to know you're in the family of God. You're on the inside. And you're able to help others. And